Everybody okay? And I'm glad you came. Yesterday we had even a bigger crowd, right? Saturday seems to be Saturday night fever. People. So Sunday we need to pray for that too. Praise God. Now please, I want to turn your attention this morning. All announcements as per normal, okay? And so I like to turn, just give me your ears. I like to turn your attention to Revelation. Don't turn your Bibles, please. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now, here specifically, Jesus gave the last message to the church in the book of Revelation. We have seven messages. And these are the supposedly the condition of the last day churches, including Calvary City Church, or churches. And I'd like to give you a summary of the seven messages. They are quite long, some are short, and if you can focus, this is very much in line with the message that I'll preach this morning. And I pray this message will not only be relevant to you, but also impact your life, the way you live in your relationship with Jesus. Now, first of all, Jesus, now in all these seven messages, Jesus gives correction and commendation. Or he rebukes, he reproves, and he also encourages us. Captain Vincent, are you with me? Okay. Your mask almost covered your eyes. Okay. Now, he looks at the church of Ephesus, if it appears on your screen, and he tells them, you are loyal, but you are loveless. They had purpose, but they had no passion. How many of us are like that here this morning? We have lost our first love. Number two, then he looks at the church of Smyrna and he tells them, you are afflicted, but you're affluent. You're afflicted. They're persecuted right and left, top and bottom. And he tells them, but you're affluent. You're rich, both spiritually and materially. You're doing well. The persecution did not scatter you. Okay? And then he looks at the church of Pergamos, the third church, and he says, you're faithful. You are faithful. But your faithfulness is not absolute. He says, you're faithful, but you're terribly flawed. You know what's flawed, right? Tainted, right? Flawed. Error. You know, tainted. Why? They, in the midst of the doctrine of Jesus, they also practice the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam is an marriage with the ungodly. Interracial marriage with the godly is acceptable, with the ungodly. And their doctrine, the second doctrine that they confused with the doctrine of Jesus is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans are people who major in the commandments of man. Of man, not the commandments of God. And then he looks at the church of Thyatira. Okay, not thyroid, okay? I remember as thyroid. That's how I memorize scriptures, okay? The church of Thyatira. And he says this to them, you're committed. You're committed. Yes, you're committed to the cause of Jesus. You're committed to the gospel. But you're utterly compromised. Utterly compromised. One feed in the world and one feed in the church. And they were terribly influenced by a spirit called the Jezebelic spirit, an immoral spirit. There was immorality in the church. Like today in the modern day, we can possess our vessel for Jesus. At the same time, we can also use our vessel in watching porn and doing those things that are not right morally. That's what they were. They were friendly with God and even more friendly with sin. And then number five, we've got two more. Number five, the church of Sardis. The church of Sardis. He says, you're small. Sardis, you're small. You know why? When you preach the truth, the truth is not popular. Okay? People who receive the truth are strong. The Sardis, the church of Sardis was small and you are dynamic. But you know what? They could not keep the truth. They were dying. They were dying. It's like a seed fallen on the thorny ground. You know, it's gone. It tells them, you're dynamic, but you're dying. You're dynamic, but you're dying. Not watchful. They're not watchful. They're not steadfast. They allow the enemy to come and steal the word. And number six, he gives a message to the church of Philadelphia. The word Philadelphia means brotherly love. And then this is a commendation. This is Philadelphia. You're small, but you're significant. You're small, but you're strong. Okay? This is where they practice the truth. Okay? And a faithful church. This is a faithful church. And then number seven, this is the summary of the seventh message and final message to the church of Laodicea. This is so-called a mega church. And he tells them, you are crowded. You're so crowded, but you are Christless. You're lukewarm. The world has come into your system. Are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? You know, friends, now, each church had a spiritual condition. And that spiritual condition is the one that is found in this last day church. The last day church. And I encourage you to go back and read the seven messages. If any one of them fits them, if it is a commendation, look at me, you pat your back. But if it's a rebuke, then you need to correct yourself. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. And Jesus did not just leave them in this spiritual predicament or the spiritual disease. He gave them a way out. Everybody say, a way out. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's way in and way out. Are you here with me? John 14 and verse 6. He gave them a way out. And this is the way out. All the seven churches had one conclusion. All the seven churches had one remedy. All the seven churches had one way out of their spiritual disease and the spiritual predicament. And that is, this is what he said. Every message concludes this way. And he tells them, if you will heed to this, you will be an overcomer. You'll overcome. You will overcome your non-committed attitude. You will overcome your non-consecrated attitude. You'll overcome your non-dedication attitude. You'll overcome your compromise. Overcome your lack of first love. You will overcome your complacency. You will overcome your lukewarmness. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Because Jesus is coming back for his church. Are you here with me? We are in the last of the last days. The war that's taking place. The rumors of the war that we're hearing. This pandemic, which seems going into endemic. We are in the last of the last days. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Either we become popular with God or the world will become popular with us. Are you here with me? With all kinds of uncertainty, with all kinds of fear and all kinds of anxiety. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Even in the midst of all this, we can live for Jesus. Those online say amen. Those here say amen. Praise God. And this is the way out. And he says this. I want to read. I want to take all the conclusion. And I sum up this. He who has a ear. Right? He who has a ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Churches means each one of us. Not just Calvary City Church. Not full gospel assembly. Not church in, as per se. But us, he who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. The Spirit of God can be a personal voice to each one of us. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Then you will be an overcomer. Then you will be an overcomer. So come on, somebody shout amen, please. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Friends, in this last of the last days, in the 11th of the 11th hour, Jesus expects us, the church, all of us, expects us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be led by this Holy Spirit, by empowered by the Holy Spirit, and to be heard of the Holy Spirit. People who will begin to hear the voice of God. Come on, put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Come on. Are you here with me? And this is the expectation of Jesus upon these last days over the church. Yesterday, I talked about being led by the Spirit of God. Again, this morning, in line with hearing the voice of God, I entitled this my message as this. To be, everybody say to be. To be an honorable, everybody say honorable. And sanctified. To be an honorable, sanctified vessel of the Holy Spirit. Come on, are you here with me? To be an honorable, sanctified vessel of the Holy Spirit. Why is it so necessary? Come on, look at me. The Bible tells us we are called to live an honorable and sanctified life. Now, why is it so important? Everybody look at me. You know, friends, we often say this. The Lord is my dwelling place. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? We read in Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, verse 27. Okay? It says, God is my eternal dwelling place. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? And then, in this pandemic, one of the popular scriptures that we always quote is this. You know? If God is my dwelling place, Psalms 91 and verse 9, if God is my dwelling place, then no plague will come near me. Right or wrong? Come on, church. Right or wrong? Okay? Now, look at this perspective. When the Holy Spirit came in the New Testament, God made us his dwelling place. How do you like that? Isn't that true? Come on. Come on. The God that raised Lazarus from the dead. The God that cleansed the lepers. The God that healed the blind. The God that parted the Red Sea. The God that did supernatural miracles. He made us his dwelling place. How do you like that? Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Are you here with me? You are undoubtedly the dwelling place of God. The Bible tells us, hear this, in the Old Testament. That's why we need to be serious. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to be serious. If we want to hear what the Spirit of God has to say, we need to present our vessel as a vessel of honor, as a vessel of sanctification. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. You know why the Spirit of God is called holy? Holy Spirit, because he's holy. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it is so simple. That's right. But today the church is living in defilement, in compromise, in complacency, and lukewarmness. Therefore, we cannot provide a delightful dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. As a result, we have become stone deaf to the leading and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody say amen, please. You know, friends, in the Old Testament, are you still with me? Those are lying. You know, friends, In the Old Testament, if you look at Isaiah 66 verse 1, okay, it says, look at the scripture. It says here, you see how wonderful you are to God. God chose the heaven to be his throne, right or wrong? And then God chose the earth, Malaysia, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, the earth to be his footstool. You know what's footstool, right? How many of you still use footstool? Pune is still using, Okay, because of the knee. We use the poof right now, okay? Footstool. God placed his divine feet on the face of the earth. And then, almost came down. And then, when the Holy Spirit came, okay, where? The scripture says, and where is the place of my rest? When the Holy Spirit came, God then decided that you and I will become the dwelling place of the God Almighty. Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why 1 John 4:4 says, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. He's not just talking about the knowledge of Jesus. He's talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. That's why the Bible tells us, look at me. You know, that's why the Bible tells us. Do you remember my title? My title is to be an honorable sanctified vessel. The Bible tells us, look at 1 Thessalonians. Come on, everybody look at the scripture. This pause is divine, so you can pay attention, okay? Look at this. For this is the will of God. Everybody say will of God. It's not pilihan. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from all sexual immorality, sexual activity, okay? Let's look at the next one. That each one of us, say each one of us, whether young or old, we should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? To be honorable, to be sanctified before God is an awesome thing. Why? Because the fullness of God delights in dwelling in you. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, 3:16 and 17, know ye not that you are the temple, you are the dwelling place of God, that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's why Paul tells us in Colossians 1 and verse 27, Christ in you together with the Holy Spirit is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. If Solomon's temple had a physical glory, you have a spiritual glory inside of you. Come on, give Jesus the glory. And he goes on to say, if anyone defiles the temple, how do you defile the temple? When I was a Hindu, if I wear shoes and go into the temple, I defile the temple. When the Hindus come, if the lady is having a menstruation, she cannot come into the temple. It will defile the temple. And what else? I cannot eat pork and go into the temple. I cannot eat beef and go into the temple. Are you here with me? If I'm eating, I have to brush the teeth and gargle my mouth and stay away from the temple like a few days and then I go. Are you here with me? But today, it's not your physical activity that defiles the temple. It's your thought, it's your desire, it's your feelings that are not in line with the word of God. It could be envy, it could be strife, it could be jealousy, it could be thoughts of immorality, anger. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And he who defiles the temple, I, the Lord, will destroy him. Are you here with me? It's in the New Testament. Show it again. Show it again. Come on, you see, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. I don't know how. Nobody's destroyed so far. Otherwise, I can use as an example. Oh, yeah. I got an example. You know what? How many of you want to know? Wave your hand. Yeah, that's true. We corrected someone and told him, don't preach the word and live in double adultery. You know what's double adultery? One woman on the left, one woman on the right. Or one in front, one at the back. Whatever. You know, we warned him. We told him repeatedly, don't do that. Don't play with the Holy God. You know what? Suddenly one day, he couldn't go to the toilet. Cannot urine, no? Rushed to the hospital. Lamwai, you know. And they checked him. Both the kidneys decided to fail. Remember, Paul prayed this prayer in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 5. I submit you to the devil that your flesh may be destroyed, that your soul may be saved. Right? How much can we play the fool with God before our sin plays us out? Can somebody say ouch or amen? And that will happen. You're destroyed. This guy destroyed for almost 18 years. For no reason. He had to be in dialysis. I'll never forget that. If that doesn't give me the fear of God, then I am doomed. Because I was dealing with him. Are you here with me? Can somebody say out or amen? So quiet. I cannot come down. Otherwise, I'll come and shake you up. Are you here? Michelle, are you here? Okay. That's what can happen. Right? This is the wrong time to play the fool with God. Can somebody say amen, please? Now, people who are so used to grace message, they will throw stones at me right now. But this is in the New Testament. Brother Beck, this is the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17 is in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 is in the New Testament. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Now, what is the purpose? Very quickly, this is the purpose. This is where we are heading. To experience, everybody say experience. Come on, to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and to enjoy the person of the Holy Spirit. To experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and to enjoy and experience the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, somebody say amen, please. Are you here with me? I said yesterday, when the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes, everything that's undone in your life will be done. When the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes, everything that's not complete will be completed in your life. Are you here with me? You know, friends, when the fullness of the Spirit of God comes, we call this the momentum of the Holy Spirit. You know, every department in the church will be equipped. Are you here with me? Everything will become full because the fullness of the Holy Spirit is the totality of God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. You know, Isaiah 11, give me this. Isaiah 11 and verse 2 describes the fullness of the Spirit of God. You know, what's the Spirit of God? Captain, you know, the Spirit of God is explained as the Spirit of wisdom, as the Spirit of wisdom, as the Spirit of counsel, as the Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, as a spirit of mind, as a spirit of the fear of God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. So when the fullness of the Spirit comes into your family, that's not healed. Your relationship, that's not healed. Everything is not done properly. As soon as the flood of the fullness of the Holy Spirit begins to come from you, everything will be restored. Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is a spirit. Where the Spirit of God is, there is no more chain. That's liberty. Everything breaks. Say everything breaks. Right from your workplace to your family, from your relationship to everything. And God begins to heal. Can I share with you a testimony? Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear now? Then I'll go to the scripture. You know, my elder sister, when I accepted Jesus, she said, "Rajan, you will become a beggar." You know, I don't know why she said that. I'm not sure. Okay? She's from a Catholic school, convent, Holy Infant Convent. You know, not too long ago, I was waiting in convent. Somebody called me and said, "Pastor, where are you? Can I meet you?" I said, "No, you can't meet me because I am next to Mary." You know the statue? I went up there and sat there waiting for my daughter to come. I can't come because I'm fellowshipping with Mary right now. You know, friends, look at me, please. She said that. Last week, you know, when my mother died, she at the funeral, she said some very painful words. Very painful words. You know, painful. I told my wife, I feel so hurt. You know? And of course, if you are in my position, you will also forgive her, right? I forgive her. I've got no problem. Every morning, I make it a point to wish her good morning. Probably she'll look at this, "What good morning can you wish me?" No? But slowly she began to respond to me. And recently, her sister-in-law fell ill. And her sister-in-law is a born-again Christian because her daughter, while studying in Australia, she became a Christian and married to a pastor. The whole family became Christians. And she told my sister, "I'm looking for your brother, Pastor Rajan. And I want him to pray for me. And could you send him a message telling him that I want to communicate with him and give my number?" I think my sister, with great reluctance, sent me the number. And you know what, friends? I called the sister-in-law of hers, also my sister-in-law, right? Don't know what's her. I prayed with her. You know what? That turned out to be a huge testimony for my sister. Come on, are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? You know, when the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes, that which is against you, that is opposing you, will begin to flow in line with you. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And for us as Christians who are leading an incomplete life, our lives are not complete, blocked here, blocked there. Instead of just going and asking God to release the block, we need to desire for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And begin to experience the Holy Spirit. And because you have become the vessel of the Holy Spirit, that river begins to flow out of you and touch the people around you. You're no longer just the carrier of God's presence, but you are the dispenser of God's presence. Come on, put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. That's the truth of the matter. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Now, friends, let me read the purpose of this message: to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit and enjoy the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the expression of God. Go back and read John the 16th chapter. He's the full expression of God. And he's the experience of God. And I like to read Romans the 8th chapter, verses 14 through 16. And it says here, "For as many as were led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage." You know, bondage, stuck. Everybody says stuck. You know, "you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to be fearful, to be crippled, but you have received a spirit of adoption that cries out." Come on, somebody say cries out. It cries out in worship. It cries out in joy. It cries out in amazement. It cries out in excitement. It cries out in enthusiasm. Abba, Father. Come on, somebody shout amen. Put your hands together and give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? Every one of us have that cry inside. You know what? David defines the cry as the joy of salvation. Everybody, every one of us, don't be depressed. Don't be discouraged. Come on, don't be despaired. Even though we're going through this difficult time. And David, in Psalms 51, verse 10, he says this onwards, create in me, everybody look at me, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, friends, the Holy Spirit in you is the cry, Abba, Father. And that cry is the joy of the salvation, the excitement, that gladness, that merry heart that God has placed in your life. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, come on. Do I make sense? Come on. So therefore, we don't need to be bitter God. Okay? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't need to be a, what do you call it in Chinese? Kukwa. Huh? Yeah. Right? In Tamil, it's called what? Pawaka. Okay? Friends, look at me. In Bahasa Malaysia, it's called what? Priyak. Right? Priyaka. Priya. The one doing the sound, her name is Priya. What? Priyak, is it? Whatever. Katrika. You know, friends, we don't need to go around being bitter because of the circumstances and situations and what the world can throw at us at a time such as this. We can still have the joy of the salvation because that's the experience, that's the excitement of the Holy Spirit that comes out of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know, the minor prophet, Zephaniah expresses the gladness of the Holy Spirit, the joy of salvation, as in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Everybody look at the scripture. Okay, this is it. And it's inside of you. Captain, it's inside of you. Come on, the Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. And then he will rejoice over you. Come on. Rejoice over you. Clapping hands with enthusiasm. With gladness. Come on. Come on. He will quiet you with his love. Come on. Somebody shout amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. Isn't that wonderful? You know, friends, we still have time, right? You know, friends, look at me. When the Holy Spirit came, he did not just bring tongues. And the power of God. You know, no. We have been taught that. But if you look at the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit came, it brought gladness, marveling, and amazement. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And let me show you. That's the Spirit of God. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know? And speaking in tongues. Yesterday after the service, here comes this young lady and said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, friends, you're missing. You're missing that gladness. Are you here with me? You know, friends, the coming of the Holy Spirit brought the joy of heaven on earth. This is serious. Okay? Did not just bring conviction. Did not just bring tongues and the power of God. But it brought joy. Let me just show you by the scripture. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Just give me your ears. You know what it says? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered in one place. Suddenly, everybody says suddenly. That's how God moves. Suddenly, there was a sound. Everybody says sound. It was not a wind. There was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Sound. The sound of joy. Sound. And it filled every place where they were. And then upon them were the tongues of fire. And after that, everyone were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they started speaking in tongues. And what happened? Few scriptures later, look at me. All those who watched them speaking in tongues, they did not run away, but they stood there amazed, and they were marveled. Come on. That amazement and that marvel is from the Holy Spirit. Come on, put your hands together. That's what the Holy Spirit brought the joy of heaven, the excitement of heaven, the enthusiasm of heaven into each one of us. Come on, somebody say amen, please. There are many scriptures that I can look at, but very quickly, in the remaining time that we have, the question is this: how? This is a question for all of us who are watching this message online, as well as here. How to be a vessel of honor? How to be a vessel of sanctification of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can dwell inside of us delightfully? Say delightfully. The opposite of delighting the Holy Spirit is grieving the Holy Spirit and quenching the Holy Spirit. We'll come to that later. I'd like you to turn with me right now to answer this question. I'd like you to turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 29 to 33. These are some of the last thoughts of the message. And after that, we're going to serve communion. And I pray from today, you will intentionally become a delightful vessel of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Because he's dwelling inside. You know, he's dwelling inside. Isn't that wonderful? It's amazing, right, Bernice? The God that created heaven and earth is right inside of us. And the scripture tells us so clearly. And I cannot downplay this. You know, remember Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, he said, to them that believes, exceeding greatness of his power is made available, that raised Jesus from the dead, worked mightily in him, and made him sit at the right hand throne of the Father, right? Come on, isn't that wonderful? That same power is inside of us. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? Right, no matter what you feel, that's the truth of the matter. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Now let's examine how we can become an honorable, sanctified vessel of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 29 to 33. The next day, hari eso, the next day. Everybody say next day. Now, please don't think about your sinful habits and ways. Huh? Just focus on this. No, say, voa. Chinese. Don't think of that way, please. Don't think. You know, God has a way out for every one of us. John chapter 1, verse 29 to 33. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Everybody say, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I come baptizing with the water. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 says, he'll baptize you in the Spirit and fire. Okay? And then, John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a what? Like a dove. And then, it what? It remained upon him. In no way the Spirit of God left Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was a delightful vessel of the Holy Spirit. Look at the two animal kingdom that's mentioned here. Number one, the Lamb of God. Number two, what? The dove. Now, the dove kind of nature. Dove is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, what is dove kind of a nature? Okay? Now, let's look at how the nature of dove is expressed in the life of Jesus. Okay? Now, let's look at Matthew 11, 29. Just two words. 11:29. Matthew 11:29. take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm what? Gentle and, everybody say what? Gentle and lowly. Okay? Gentle and lowly. I'm humble. I'm gentle. That's the nature of the dove. Gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for my soul. The Holy Spirit, come on. The Holy Spirit, I said yesterday, he's not just an anointing. He's not just a power. It's not some spiritual feeling. Every morning when I wake up to pray, as I enter into worship, the warm presence of God will come and I'll feel. It's a warm presence of God. Sometimes I will come and tell my wife, we are not walking today. I'm going to extend praying. It's a sweet. Everybody says sweet. No ends can come, of course. It's a sweet hour of prayer. You know? And the Holy Spirit is not just a substance, but he's a person. He's a helper. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And he's gentle. If you don't want his counsel, he's not going to force on you. If you don't want his conviction, he's not going to force on you. If you don't want his leading, he's not going to force on you. Are you here with me? He's not a dictator. He's not an iron-faced ruler, but he's gentle. He's gentle like an oil. He's gentle like a flame. He's gentle like a wind. He's gentle like a new wine. Can somebody say amen, please? He's gentle. Dia tidak pernah gaduh. Have you anybody had fights with the Holy Spirit? Huh? One morning you did the wrong thing. Pah! Slap. That could be Jesus, not the Holy Spirit. That could be Jesus, not the Holy Spirit. That's why we say what a friend we have in Jesus. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Pam! Come on, somebody say amen, please. So therefore, he's not going to force his way. He's not going to force his way. You know, when I was doing ministry in Chalam, you know, in a faraway place called Batu Tiga. How many of you know Batu Tiga? Nobody knows. Because Batu Tiga, Tiga Batu, okay? And, you know, Christopher knows. He knows, I tell you why. Because they had a place those days before Shalom became an Islamic town. They had a place called, what do you call that place where they cut animals? Abit, what? Abitor, is it? You don't know? That's right, Abitor. Am I right? Okay. And you know what? That place is reserved for one kind of animal only. You know what? Pig. You know? And every other day they slaughter. You know, you don't need to look at the schedule to see when the pig is coming. Because once they go there, the whole Batu Tiga can hear the pigs are making noise. You know, because they are forceful. They kick the pig at the back and they, you know, they do all kinds of things. They cut them, right? You know. And that's not, brother back, bakute afterwards. You know what? Please wear your mask, please. You know what? You know what? The Holy Spirit is not like that. The Holy Spirit is not like that. I come from a place where it's another kind of bird that makes all the noise all the time. That's the crow. Early morning. What kind of a music can come from crow? Clang. Like playing the drum. You know, friends, but the Holy Spirit is gentle. Everybody say gentle. So he looks for a similar kind of a vessel to be delightful in. And that vessel must be a lamb kind of a nature. Lamb kind of a nature. Can somebody say amen, please? I'm coming to the close of the message. The dove came upon the lamb and it stayed. It stayed. No matter what the lamb went through, it stayed. Come on, somebody say amen, please. It was not saddened. It was not quenched. It was not grieved. It was not insulted. It remained the lamb kind of a nature. Again, I use the nature of Jesus to describe the lamb. Let's look at Isaiah 53 verse 7. Isaiah 53 verse 7. He was oppressed. What will you do if you're oppressed? You fight back, right? Human's right. Huh? Ladies' liberation, man's determination. Okay? He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Hantam disini, hantam disana. Yet he opened not his mouth. Not dumbfounded, okay? He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. You know? The lamb doesn't fight, the pig fights. They fight, you know. And then, as a sheep before its shearer is silent. Silent. He opened not his mouth. What is the lamb kind of a nature? That the Holy Spirit can dwell inside of you. That you can have the fullness of the Holy Spirit and hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Come on, somebody say amen, please. You know, friends, number one, a surrendered heart. A heart that surrendered to God. Totally. What is important to God is important to you. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that lives. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. I like the word crucified. Many a times we come down from the crucifix. Okay, I'm crucified. Come on, give me the whole scripture again. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live now, I live by faith through the Son of God who loved me. Totally surrendered to God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Totally surrendered. No agenda of our own. No vision of our own. No goals of our own. Jesus becomes our purpose. Jesus becomes our centrality. Jesus becomes the one person that we will make happy all the time. He's our lover. Number two, because of time factor, number two, a selfless heart. A selfless heart. A heart that's not selfish. John the 12th chapter verse 24. John the 12th chapter verse 24. Unless a wheat of corn falls to the ground and die to itself, it abides alone, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Jesus said in Luke, the 9th, Mark the 10th chapter verse 45. Mark the 10th chapter verse 45. Jesus said, I have come not to be served. I have come to serve and to give my life as a ransom for others. Come on, somebody say amen, please. The church of Philadelphia was a small church but significant because the word Philadelphia means brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. They laid their life for one another and served God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. It's like Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's the nature of the Lamb. Total surrender. Say total surrender. There's nothing for us in the world to look forward today. This pandemic has eroded that which has been attractive, that which would influence you. But this is the best time that our heart be totally surrendered to God. Can somebody say amen, please? And become selfless that we can serve one another. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Stand to your feet as the musicians come, please. Let us desire this morning, as we come to the table to take communion, let us desire in our hearts that we want to become like a lamb kind of a nature. Can you lift up your hands to Jesus, please? Every element of unsurrender, we want to deal this with God right now. Lord, I surrender. And every aspect of selfishness, let's surrender to God. Come on. Me, myself, my family. That attitude has to go. Hallelujah. We cannot have greater evangelism. We cannot have greater harvest. We cannot have greater revival if we don't have a surrendered heart. If we don't have a selfless heart. Because the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in fullness. And therefore, our lives cannot be total. If our lives are not total, how can we reach out to others? As your hands are lifted up. All over this place, let there be a spirit of surrender. Shada raba sidiyant raba sendam. Hekanda raba sada raba sendai. Shada raba sendai. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Come and fill me. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, wherever you are, just begin to praise God. Let Him just fill you wherever you are. That's such an awesome presence of God in our midst. Shada raba sendai. I sense the Spirit of God is saying this morning, just before. Take this communion, those who are watching physically, those who are watching online, for this day, the Lord will have this known to you. I, the Lord, will cause you to become as pure as gold, says the Lord. As you would surrender your heart to the furnace of my presence, the furnace of my spirit, I, the Lord, will refine you. And I, the Lord, will set you apart. And I, the Lord, will cause you to become a delightful vessel of my spirit, saith the Lord. So therefore, now don't hold back. I want you to do this wherever you are watching. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I want my vessel to be a delightful vessel of the Holy Spirit. Come on. You intend, and God will make the intention to become a reality. All over this place, Lord, this is our desire. A surrendered heart. We surrender to you, Lord. If you're holding back, we let it go. And Lord, give us a selfless heart. No more selfish, no more self-centered, no more self-focused, but God-focused and others-focused, that we may serve, submit to one another in the fear of God, and serve in this difficult time, dear Father. As your hands are lifted up, one last time, glorifying.